Welcome back to the Bravo Dog Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, Renee Erdman. I'm a certified behavior consultant and dog trainer, and I own bravodog.ca. Today, I thought I would talk a little bit about something that someone raised on social media, which was I had sort of put out a call to say, hey, ask me a question on Instagram, and I'll answer your question. And one of the questions was, what's the most important thing you've taught a dog? Something along those lines. And I had responded that I believed teaching a dog that the world around them is safe is probably the most important thing that you can teach them. And I still truly believe that. It's interesting because, you know, I think it's fun and enriching to teach dogs behaviors, you know, such as down, stay, go to your place, all of those typical quote-unquote obedience behaviors. But I actually don't think that they're the most important thing to teach a dog, because if you think about it, you know, at least for me, a lot of the behavior problems that I see stem from dogs that are feeling unsafe in the world. So whether that's due to prior experiences, lack of socialization, punitive training methods, they're not feeling confident and safe that they're not going to be harmed or put in an uncomfortable position. Sometimes I go down the rabbit hole and end up looking at things on social media that I shouldn't, which is typically maybe a trainer that is using methods that are not improving the welfare of dogs. And I did come across this post, which I had read before, that basically says that, you know, we need to teach dogs from an early age that they just have to put up with stuff. They have to deal with it, and that shitty stuff happens, essentially, and we need to just teach them to get over it. And I think that there are probably a lot of people that think that. And if you use humans as a comparison, yeah, there are some shitty things that happen to us. And we can't help that those shitty things happen. However, what we know about animals and our companion animals is that we've chosen to bring them into our homes and domesticate them. And if we can set them up for success and make them more resilient to the negative things, why wouldn't we do that? I don't understand why we would just do bad things to them, such as, you know, restraints and you know, holding them down and forcing them to feel pain or things like that, or quote unquote submit. Why wouldn't we prepare them for things like vet visits and make it a positive? We have an opportunity to do that. So for me, it blows my mind that I would just subject an animal to something negative when I have the choice and they don't have the choice. I guess that's just, I can't wrap my brain around why I wouldn't choose to do that, especially knowing how much my dogs mean to me and to most people. So yes, negative things are going to happen to our dogs and have happened to them. You know, perhaps you got your dog when they were not a puppy and they have a history of possibly bad experiences. Okay, well, we can't do anything about that. It's happened. However, if we can identify triggers or environments that upset them, we have the choice to make these things better for them. And this goes back to being an advocate for your dog, which I talked about in a prior episode. Again, it's a no-brainer to me why I wouldn't either avoid putting them in certain situations or work on counter-conditioning exercises to change how they feel. But that's just me. I always sort of go back to history with dogs and dog training and remember where it all began, which was in the military. I believe, I could be wrong with this date, around the 40s, which then trickled into pet dog training. So you can see To me, it doesn't even make sense. You know, you're training a dog for military work that it has nothing to do with being, you know, in the home and being a companion. But anyways, that's where it all started. So quite punitive. Equipment's quite punitive. Makes sense. Well, as time moves on, we make progress. We learn more about dogs and their emotions. We make changes and we progress. At least most of us do. So knowing that we know so much more about animals and emotions and their cognition, I think it can be tough sometimes if you work in this industry to look at it and think, oh gosh, you know, things really aren't changing in my community, because you may see, you know, a bunch of trainers using shock and prong and not even going to school, no education, just, you know, putting up a website and taking clients. And it's frustrating for us, I think, because we feel helpless. You know, we can't do anything about other people opening businesses and unfortunately hurting dogs and the people that live with them. But, you know, what do we do about this? I'm just sending support to anybody who's listening out there that is fighting the good fight and feels frustrated, because you're not alone. And I think we need to support each other and support people in our community that are, you know, going through struggles and, you know, confused about, you know, hey, which direction do I go? This person says this and this person says that. You know, I get messages every week, either through email or direct messages on Instagram about the podcast and some of the horrible things that, you know, they have subjected their dogs to because a professional told them that's what they needed to do, and the guilt that they feel. And I really feel for them, and I wish I had an answer other than continuing to spread information and education to the community. You know, it does no good to name names and to slander other businesses, because it makes you look bad for sure. And that's not how we get to people. We get to people by informing the masses and community to make safe and helpful choices when they're looking for somebody to work with their dog. So circling back to what I originally wanted to talk about before I went off on a bit of a tangent, is making our dogs feel safe in this world, why that's so important. And I believe it's so important because the basis of any organism behaving what we call in an acceptable way in society does not come from feeling fearful and defensive. Nothing good can come from that. So to me, a baseline for an animal to be happy and have good welfare is that they feel safe, they feel protected, and that they are not being put in situations that they need to feel defensive. Logical or not, it doesn't matter. Oftentimes people will say to me, well, it doesn't make sense. Why? I don't understand. And we won't understand sometimes why an animal feels defensive, but we can typically identify the situations in which they do. And that's our starting point. That's where we can start working forward and looking at how do we make them feel better? How do we teach them something that's more reinforcing for them and also makes them feel good, so they have a better association with the situation? So there's lots of things that we can look at, but I think your first starting point is, okay, overall, how's my dog doing, you know, in life? How are they feeling about different aspects? And I ask my clients, even if they're having a consultation with me for a completely separate reason. So let's say they've booked a consultation because their dog is defensive or reactive towards other dogs. Well, I also ask about the rest of their life. you know, I ask, how are they at the vet? How often do they go to the groomer? And how do they feel about that? How do they feel about guests coming into the home? You know, is there anxiety and stress in other aspects of their life that can absolutely be contributing to this one particular behavior that you have come to see me about? Because we can't, you know, dogs don't live in a vacuum. Their behaviors don't either. And that means that there's often other contributing factors that we need to look at. So, you know, if you with your dog are looking at a particular issue, it's typically not just that one thing, if that makes sense. There's other stuff usually going on. And exercise is not the answer either. That's just sort of a little pet peeve of mine where, you know, oh, just exercise the dog, give them more exercise. That is not going to solve the problem. Unless your dog's getting no exercise or they're not getting adequate exercise, then of course that's a basic need that needs to be addressed. But tiring your dog out to the point of exhaustion is just giving you an exhausted dog. It's not pinpointing or focusing on the issue that you're trying to resolve. So just to reiterate what I'm trying to get at here is that, you know, looking at quality of life and whether a dog feels safe, it has multiple facets that you need to look at, but it will often contribute towards an issue that you may be having with your dog. Hopefully that makes sense. And to be honest with you, if you're not interested in improving the welfare of your dog or knowingly, then you really shouldn't have a dog anyways, in my opinion. But I don't think anybody knowingly does this. So I don't think anybody knowingly is putting their dogs in situations to set them up to fail. Though the post that I alluded to earlier, it really sounds like it. And just having such a point of view that is, to me, is so backwards. And I think if I want to make sense of it all, it's lack of education. And I don't want this to sound self-righteous or that I think I'm better than anybody, but I made a commitment when I started working with dogs to learn as much as I could. And even financially, you know, no, I can't afford to be taking all these courses all the time and going back to school, but it's a responsibility. And, you know, somebody studying to be a physician or an electrician, they don't just go off and do it and teach themselves along the way and not invest in education, because there are some major repercussions that will happen if they don't. But they also can't, you know, obtain tickets to work and board certifications, etc. Dog trading industry, the bar is pretty low. You know, there's no regulation. There's a lot of garbage out there and misinformation and marketing that totally lies to people. So it's a bit different, but at least for me, that was my commitment, is if I was going to get into this, I'm not going to go to bed at night and put my head on the pillow and think, geez, what if I treated this case in the wrong way and I've done more harm than good? Nope, not going to happen on my watch. So I again, going off on tangent, I think, but I don't think anybody does this on purpose to their dog. However, if there are professionals out there that are leading the way, knowingly doing harm, I think, or not wanting to invest in education because they just don't have the money or don't feel like doing it, I just don't think it's good enough. And that might come off the wrong way, but geez, we're responsible for the welfare of these little creatures that we've decided to put in our homes, and we decide everything for them. So we're responsible for them and their well-being. So that said, I think that this whole concept that I'm talking about making dogs feel safe, which will then result in them behaviorally acting better and more acceptable, and those are in air quotes again, it goes back to having the right information, right? And so the right information needs to be out there for people, which is what I'm trying to do, what lots of professionals are trying to do, and digging deeper and just empowering you, if you're listening out there and have a dog and are not a trainer, empowering you to get a second opinion, to stop and think, does this make sense? You know, are my spidey senses going up? Is my intuition and my gut saying, no, this doesn't feel right? Do not let that go be ignored. You know, that's happening to you for a reason, questioning these things. So that said, I think we have a lot of work to do for our companion animals, but I think we're getting there. And hopefully this concept today has given you a bit of perspective, and we'll chat with you guys next time on the next episode, which I don't know what it'll be about. But feel free to send me emails, hello@bravodog.ca, if you have an idea. And I just want to say a big thank you to everyone for listening to this podcast. We've hit just about 60,000 listens overall. So that's pretty good for just this little project that I thought, hey, I have a voice and I want to get some information out to the masses. And it looks like that I'm reaching a couple of people. So that's cool. So continue tuning in if you're finding it useful. And just a big thank you.